Well, good morning, Thrive Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Can we just give God a praise offering? Amen. I want to welcome you all here to Thrive Church. My name is Sheldon Miles. I'm the lead pastor of this awesome church. And I want to welcome all those who are watching online in the 715 and want to invite you. It is much better in person. I want to invite all of you to our Christmas Eve service on Christmas Eve. And we are expecting a great crowd. So we just want to encourage you to invite your friends, family, and loved ones. We're going to hear about what Christmas is really all about. We're going to explain to you and your friends Jesus and the importance of having Jesus in our lives. He is the reason for the season, is he not? And so I just want to encourage you. We put up these funny videos, but no, we're serious. We're serious. And so invite your friends and family to come to that service. Doors open at 4:30 for some refreshments. And we're going to have plenty of room in the balcony, but we're expecting a full house. So I encourage you to do that. Second thing I want to just mention to you quickly here. Christmas is just around the corner, and then we got New Year's. And then right after that, we get right into the new year. And one of the things that we're super excited about is our life groups that are within the church. And boy, that's really when you build community. We have some great community life groups in this church. And if you're kind of new to the church and like, hey, I just want to meet some friends and get connected, life groups is what you need to do. And that's going to get started on January 5th. So we're going to get started right off the bat. So I want to encourage you to go to the Connect Center and find a life group that is ready for you. We're starting up a new men's group that I'm super excited about. And so, again, go to the Connect Center in the lobby, and we will get you connected. So, Merry Christmas. Would you look at your neighbor and tell them, Merry Christmas? And I'll look at your other neighbor and say, what did you get me? What did you get me? I love this time of year. Michelle and I were out. We were out for dinner with some friends, and then we went kind of driving through the neighborhoods. Like, I like those lights, and I like those lights, and I don't like those. And just the lights. I love it. I love it. And there's some people who really put on a great display. We had a few years ago, we had some neighbors who their theme was Christmas Vacation, and they did it right. I mean, they had the whole camper and everything in their yard, and it was a lot of fun. But I joking, I said it, but all of us, we would smile when we say it, but we're like, no, we're serious. We like the Christmas presents, right? Is there anybody who does not like, don't raise your hand. I don't want you to be a Scrooge. But we all like the Christmas presents. See, have you thought about what you want for Christmas this year? Have you thought about it? How many of you know exactly what you want for Christmas? Just go ahead and tell the person next to you, because they can't read your mind. You got to tell them. I remember as a kid, and this is going to date me here. This is going to date me here, but when I was a kid, you had to, and for you younger folks, there's this thing called a catalog. A catalog. See, I didn't grow up with the internet, I grew up with the catalog. Everybody say catalog. And we had a Sears catalog, all right? How many remember the Sears catalog, about that thick right there? And you had to go through all the departments of the Sears catalog to get to the toy department of the catalog. And then you would take a pen and you would just like circle what you want, and then you put a piece of paper in there, put your name on the paper, and you turn it in. This is maybe what I really want for Christmas. And you turn that into your parents, and just incredibly, it would show up in a Christmas present under the tree for you. It's like, oh, they just knew exactly what I wanted. I love Christmas. I love presents. But have you ever found yourself wishing for more? Have you ever walk away from the Christmas presents and you got that? You know, I remember as a kid, all the presents, we'd put them in and put it on the bed. But have you ever wished there was more? For some reason, I got everything that I wanted, but I don't have everything I really want or need. Have you ever wished for something in your heart? We've entitled this Christmas series, All I Want for Christmas. And what we're talking about is what I think really some of the things that I think what we're really looking for, really what we want in life on the inside. You see, not only is Christmas, not only at Christmas time, but ultimately these are things that we are looking for in life. And I have found that one of the biggest things that people are looking for is this thing called peace. Peace. Have you ever noticed most of what, a lot of the things that we do, a lot of the things that we are pursuing in life are, we're pursuing these things because if I had this thing, then I would have peace. I would have that fulfillment that I'm looking for. If I only had that vacation, I took that vacation, I would have peace. If I had that new truck or I had that new car, I would have peace. If I had those clothes, if I had that new iPhone, if I had that new gadget, then I would have peace. That's all that I want. If you ever found yourself, if I only had that, I wouldn't ask for anything else. Liar. If I only had more people who liked me on social media, if I was only more popular, if I only had a boyfriend or if I only had a girlfriend, if I only had a fiance, if I only had a spouse, if we only had a child, if I only had a dog, you don't want a cat. You don't want a cat. You don't want a cat. You know, if you have a, if you ha, I'm not knocking on a cat. Yeah, I am. All right. Some of you might be here today, and if only I had a divorce, I would have peace. You see, I think everybody in this world is really looking for peace. What is it? What is it? Peace is defined as that freedom from disturbance. It is to have quiet and tranquility. And some religions call it nirvana. And I would reach that place where that complete inner peace. However, if you ask most people, and it's like, okay, where is your heart today? Like peace being the ultimate. People would say, I would say my heart is like in the complete opposite, and that word would be chaos. Chaos. Some of you could probably relate to that place of chaos. Chaos is complete disorder, confusion, creating great anxiety, fear, worry, frustration. Am I connecting with anybody here today? I think all of us can relate to this. Again, which of these two words would you say is the condition of your heart? You see, I have found in my life, and I've done this, where you can have a smiley face on the outside, and you got chaos on the inside. You know, we all know this. We're all living in a chaotic world. All we need to do is we could put it up on the screen and turn on the local news or find world news, and we would see chaos. We have unidentified drones that are flying all over our country, and nobody seems to know what they are, and people don't really care, but people are worried. We have war in the Ukraine. We have war in the Middle East. We have country divided by politics. We have assassinations happening on our streets. We have abductions, kidnapping, assault. We have crazy dictators in Iran, North Korea, and Russia. We got chaos in the house, right? And I'm telling you, you just turn on the news and it's chaos. Not just in the news, but again, some of you, like, man, it's not just in the news, but it's in my family, it's in my home, it's in my marriage, it's in my finances. My work is full of stress and anxiety. Instead of happiness, I have chaos. Sometimes Christmas can be the season of chaos. Am I stressing you out this morning? You know, what really breaks my heart? It breaks my heart as a pastor to see people who are close to the Lord and they enter into a season of chaos, not of their own, but they enter into a season of chaos and they start to blame their chaos on God. When really God is, the Bible says, we're going to read this here in a few moments, he's the Prince of Peace. He wants to give you the peace that you're looking for. And that's really what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about the birth of Jesus, the one who has meant to bring peace into your chaotic heart, into your hurting heart. I want to talk to you about this. There's this exciting news in Luke chapter 2. And by the way, I know some of you, You like to sit down and read the Bible story at Christmas time, and it's found in Luke chapter 2. I was wondered as a kid, I was always asked to read it, like, where is it? I can't find Luke chapter 2. And the angels appeared to the shepherds. Remember that part? And they had this announcement that this Messiah is coming into the world. And Luke describes this encounter in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. He says, the angels talked to them and assured the shepherds, and they said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. The Messiah, the one that they have been looking for, has arrived. He's come to save the world, and he has come to give peace. And then the angels tell us this, that when Jesus' arrival came, he says, peace is going to come to those who know him. Look at this, verse 13 and 14. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven, and Wait, let me say it one more time. Glory to God in highest heaven and peace. Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Their Christmas message to us today is to know Jesus is to know peace. To know Jesus is to have peace. In Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, God speaks through the prophet Isaiah, and he's talking about this Messiah that's going to come into the world. And by the way, he prophesied this some 700 years before Christ's arrival. And he says this, he says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, the word prince, is it's an authority position. It's someone who has power. And if we want to know what he has power to give to you, and what his power is his power is peace. Doesn't that sound awesome? I want you to know Jesus is for you and for this world. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, and he is the Prince of Peace. Thank you, God, for your peace. So, all I want for Christmas, we're going to focus on peace. I'm here to tell you today that just as the angels declared to know Jesus is to have peace, he is speaking not only to those shepherds, but he is speaking to you. I don't know if you are in that place of chaos during this Christmas season. I don't know if some of the things that I described are as a description of your life, but I want you to know that the Prince of Peace is alive today, and he wants to give you his peace, his peace. You see, as the angels described, they talked about knowing about Jesus. It's not just enough to know about him. It's not enough just to know the Christmas story. But I ask you this morning, do you know the Prince of Peace? Do you know him as the three descriptions that the angels gave? Do you know him as your Savior, the one who rescues you from your sins? Have you gone to him and said, God, forgive me. You're the only one who can save me from my sins. Do you know him as your Messiah? A Messiah is somebody who comes and he redeems the terrible situation and he redeems what is broken and restores it to new. Do you know Jesus as your Redeemer? And do you know him as your Lord? The word Lord means leader. Are you allowing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to lead your life? You see, this is the ultimate, listen to me, this right here is the ultimate pathway to have peace in your life, is to know the Prince of Peace. In the Gospel of John, we see a passage where Jesus is talking to his disciples about what happens to us when we invite Jesus into our life. There's something that happens. Look at this passage here, John 14, 27. Jesus is talking to you, and he says, I am leaving you with a gift. How many of you like gifts? Raise your hand. We all like gifts. Jesus is speaking to us. He says, I have a gift for you. It is the peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. What he just says here is like he wants to give you a gift. You see, when you invite God into your life, the gift that he gives, when you invite Jesus into your life to be your Lord and Savior, what he does is he places the gift of his Holy Spirit inside of you. Oh, man. And it changes everything. This gift of his Spirit. And this gift that he gives to us, what that gift begins to do is it begins to create peace. And it is the peace that your heart is longing for. And I want you to know this. Jesus makes it clear. Listen, it's very, very clear. You cannot and you will not find this peace in this world, in someone or something, all of those things that are on your Christmas wish list, you will not find the peace that your heart is looking for. You know, I think the reason a lot of people have chaos in their lives is from their relentless pursuit of trying to find peace in those things. We're trying to find peace in those very things. There's someone who is very close to me, who I love very much. And he is trying to find peace in this world. And he'll try this one thing, and it makes him a little happy, but then it goes away. So he tries something else, and it's not there. And it's like he's trying deeper, and he's trying deeper. My heart's broken because he's not going to find it in this world. He's not going to find it. Peace is more than everyone just getting along. The peace Jesus is talking about is the ultimate peace, the peace of God that they can, listen to me, it is the peace of God that can only be found in having peace with God. I want to say that. I just want you to get that. The only way that you are going to experience the peace of God is for you to make peace with God. And that's your internal question to ask yourself today. Is maybe the reason why I don't have the peace of God is because I've not made peace with God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 9, Paul talks to us about we can have peace in the midst of our chaos. In our chaotic world, maybe some of the chaotic experiences that you're going through, I want you to know that you can know and you can have God's peace. Anybody interested this morning? I'm going to look at this passage here. I want you to understand Paul knew a thing or two about chaos, okay? Paul, I just want you to imagine there's man Paul, this apostle, who has just done great things for God. And what he is doing is he's writing you a letter as he is locked up in chains in a dungy prison, and he's in there for a crime. It's like he doesn't even know. Just for preaching Jesus, he's in jail. So he's in jail for injustice. It's one of those unjust moments. And like, that's not fair. That's not right. You ever seen that on television, and somebody's going through injustice, and you're like, oh, that's not fair. It's not fair. But yet Paul begins to talk to these other people who are going through just as much persecution, chaos, and he's trying to write them a letter and saying, listen to me. You can have God's peace in the midst of your chaos. So how to find peace in the midst of your chaos? Number one, I'm going to help you out here. It starts with a decision. Here's the words. You need to choose to rejoice. I want you to know, by the way, all of my points this morning, it starts with a choice. To have God's peace, it takes a choice. It's a decision that you make. Choose to rejoice. The word rejoice means to choose to communicate praise. Peace starts to rise up within us. Have you ever noticed this? When we begin to get, when we begin to rejoice. In other words, who gets, here's the question I have here. Who gets credit for the good in your life? Who gets credit for it? Who gets credit? If we're not careful, we have the tendency to push God away and unintentionally give praise to ourselves. Now, that last night they awarded the Heisman Trophy to a very deserving college football player. It is the highest award, the most valuable football player. And usually when they talk to these players at the end of the games, they'll go up to them and talk to them, and they give praise to a group of people, or they give praise to God. They usually will say they'll give credit to God. They give credit to my family. They give credit to my team, my coaches. I give credit to myself for all the hard work that I've done. And I just want you to know that that last one can be so dangerous. It's where we give credit to ourselves. But Paul says, listen to his words here. He says, again, a prisoner talking to people in chaos. And the first words he says to them, he goes, always, choose always to be full of joy in the Lord. And then he's like, I want to say it one more time. Again, I say, rejoice. And they're like, do you realize what situation I'm in? And Paul's like, yes, I do. Because I'm in that same situation. I'm telling you, if you want peace, it starts with you rejoicing. We see when we rejoice, we're giving worship to God. And I want you to know, every Sunday morning, that's why we start off our services with worship. Have you ever noticed the change of mindset that worship does? You ever notice? I'm sure none of you have ever come into church like in a Krabby Patty mode, all right? I'm sure that's never happened. But then all of a sudden, you like start engaging in worship. Like, yeah, that's true. That's true about God. Yeah, that's, you lift up your hands and you start singing. All of a sudden, something happens to the Krabby Patty inside of you. And it just, has anybody else noticed that? Has that happened to you? The power of rejoicing. And that's just what we're saying, God, there's chaos in my life, but Lord, I'm going to choose to see the good that's happening in my life, and I'm going to give you praise for that. This simple habit of rejoicing keeps us focused on the good that God brings into our lives, and that distracts us from the negative. And that's why I'm telling you, I encourage all of you and those who are watching online, I'm so glad that you join us, but I'm telling you, there's something about corporate worship, right? There's something about just being in the presence of other believers, other people who are so much to give praise to God for. There's so much that I can dwell on that's negative, but I'm going to focus and give praise to God. And what it does is, the word is recalibrate. Recalibrate. It's like when something is off, a wheel is off, and they put it through the machine and they recalibrate, all of a sudden it's in alignment. And I believe that taking Paul's counsel, choose to rejoice, puts our chaotic world into alignment. The second thing is he says, how I'm going to find peace in the midst of chaos. And number one, I'm going to choose to rejoice. And the second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to choose to trust. I'm going to choose to trust. And I'm going to be real with you. Most of the stress that exists in my life is the fact that I don't always trust God. Can a pastor confess that? Sometimes I find it hard to trust because the situation that I want to happen is not going the way I want it to happen, and it's just not like, God, I don't mean to complain, but that's not the way I would do it. Like, you're at work, but can you do it this way, right? And I get anxious. Anxiety rises up within me when I'm focused on the situation, the negativity, and I've lost my focus on God. I get anxious when things aren't going my way. I get anxious when I don't feel like I'm in control. I get anxious when I'm not getting the result that I intended. Anybody ever feel that before? And I'm confident in this. This is how people unjustly put in the people who were imprisoned, I'm confident this is how they felt. I'm sure that these people that Paul was talking with were thinking, this is not going our way. I'm not sure what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not in control of the situation, and I'm not getting the result that I wanted. But listen to Paul's response to these same people. Verse 6, he says, don't worry. Another word for worry is anxious. And like, listen, I know, but I want to encourage you, don't let anxiety overrule you. Don't be anxious about anything. And then he says, instead, everybody say instead. So instead of choosing anxiety, I'm going to choose to trust. Everybody say that. Instead of anxiety, I'm going to choose to trust. And the way that we trust is that we pray. It says, listen, there's so much to be anxious about, but what if we started to pray about everything that is causing anxiety in our life? And it says, you know what we do? When we pray, what we do is we tell God what you need. In other translations, the word is supplication. And supplication means to earnestly ask with full dependency on God. That's what that word supplication means. Like, God, like, yeah, you know, go back to Sears catalog. I really want this. Ugh. And I think that God is waiting for sometimes for us to like, God, I really need this to happen. That's supplication. God, you're the only one who can change my marriage. You're the only one who can remove the addiction in my life. You're the only one. When's the last time that you ever went to God and prayed with supplication? Ugh. Can we just all do that right now on the count of three? One, two, three. Ugh. That's what Paul's talking about. Petition. That word petition means over and over. God, I'm not going to let this go. God, I'm desperate for this to happen. And then I want you to thank him for all that he's done. You know what he just did? He's like, and I want you to go back to rejoicing. And you may not see him working, but you've just given these requests to God. I want you to start thanking God for what he has just done. Paul just says, I don't have to live in a constant state of fear, worry, and anxiety. Can I just tell you that this morning? You don't have to live there any longer. Instead, I'm choosing to trust. You see, the most powerful way that we demonstrate our trust in God is to pray. When I pray, I am trusting that God is there. By the way, the passage, and I don't have the passage, but it says that they're talking about Jesus coming to this earth. They will call him Emmanuel. You know what that? That's such a beautiful name. I love that name, Emmanuel. But that word means Emmanuel, that God is with us. Man, I just love to just stop and pause. God is with you. I guess maybe the question is, am I with God? God is with me. He's right here, but am I with him? But it's when I pray, I'm trusting not only that he's with me, but he cares. I'm trusting that God can and will do something. I don't know what, but my prayer is moving God. I'm trusting that God, that his will, this is a tough one. When I pray, I'm trusting that God's will is better than mine, but I'm going to trust his will. I'm trusting that God by giving to him the problem and trusting him for the solution. I'm trusting God that when I pray, something is happening for my good. So I want to ask you this morning, those who have come and you have chaos in the kingdom, can I just ask, what does your prayer life look like? Do you think maybe your prayer life could help you in this situation? Because Paul is saying, yeah. You know, there's a lot of people who are not necessarily believers, but they're praying. You know, they said 55% of people, everyday people, pray every day. 55% of people just pray. Now, I don't know what they're praying. 20% of people religiously unaffiliated say that they pray daily. So again, how would your life change in the area of peace if prayer was a regular part of your day? I want to encourage you to raise your level of prayer. One of the ways that I want to encourage you, can I just give the church a challenge? So we do this, we've been doing this the past few years. Coming up in the new year, we have what we call 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But can I just dare you to put January 5th through January 25th on your calendar? And can I challenge you to put those on your calendar? That I'm going to take 21 days, and I'm really going to grow in my relationship with God through prayer. Can I just get that on your calendar? Some of you, I give you permission to pull out your phone right now and put that on your calendar. 21 days of prayer and fasting. Let me continue on here quickly here. We talked then about how to have peace. It's a choice. I'm going to choose to rejoice. I'm going to choose to trust. And number three, I'm going to choose my thoughts. You see, a big reason why that we have chaos in our lives has to do with what we dwell on in our minds. It is easy to dwell on the negative. I have noticed that the more I watch news and the more I'm in tune with the news, the more negative my thoughts become. But listen to what Paul says. He says in verse 8, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Listen, he says, fix your thoughts. Everybody say, fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Paul is telling us a few things here. Let me tell you a few things about your thoughts. We're going to talk more about this in our next sermon series, but he says this about your thoughts. Number one, your thoughts have power in your life. Your thoughts have power in your life. You are in a lot of ways where you are today because of your thoughts, okay? So understand, your thoughts have power. Number two, you are in control of your thoughts. You control the thoughts. Paul just says that. Hey, you're having problems with peace, fix your thoughts. What are you thinking about? Okay. My parents used to ask me that question. What are you thinking about? All right, fix your thoughts. Number three, you can fix your thoughts by thinking differently. You have control. And he says, take these things and dwell on these things. Dwell on these things. All right, I'm going to continue in here. Let me challenge you. Let me challenge you this Christmas season. Put your thoughts on the blessings you have in your life. A lot of times we can focus on the things I don't have. I want to challenge you to think, place your thoughts on the things, the blessings you have in your life. Number four, quickly here. Choose to do. And I'm going to ask some friends if you would come to the platform here. Choose to do. D-O. Do. It's an action. You notice all of these things, there's an action here. But listen to what Paul says here. I want you to keep putting into practice all that you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw from me. Put into practice. In other words, what Paul just said here, he said, I want to challenge you to start to do what you know is true. Even if that thing is hard to do, I want to challenge you to begin to do what you know is true. So I have my friends here, Leah and Alyssa. And they have just a powerful story that I think many of us can relate to. Maybe at Christmas time, maybe their story is going to be a Christmas blessing because you're going to do something in your family. So I don't know which one of you guys is going to speak. Introduce yourselves.
I'm Leah Dobson.
I'm Alyssa Lines.
Okay. You guys are sisters.
Yes.
Okay. And you guys had a problem. Tell us quickly a little bit about your problem as sisters.
So my parents got divorced, and then they both got remarried, and Alyssa came, my dad and stepmom had Alyssa. And we would see each other until about age 12, and then after age 12, stuff happened in the background that we didn't have any control over, and we were both told stories for 26 years that caused us to be disconnected and unable to communicate.
And so you had conflict between each other in your minds, or what was it? What was it like between you two? Like, what was your thoughts about your sister?
It was just known that there was something happening where it was just tension, and we weren't supposed to communicate, or like if we seen each other, we just weren't allowed basically to talk to
each
other.
Yeah. So you kind of had this offense towards each other, like they're a bad person. Is that kind of what you're thinking, or?
Kind of, or like I wasn't wanted by that family, and they were told that we weren't allowed to see us.
Yeah, so feelings of rejection and pain. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think from my perspective, it was just this tension of like we would see each other and we would just quick turn, walk the other way.
Yeah.
We grew up in a small town together. You'd see each other for 25 years. And so we just never acted on anything.
And so this went on for how long again?
25-ish years.
25, 26 years.
And then what happened?
I walked into church here.
How did you get here, by the way?
So this summer, my son just said, could we start going to church? He had it on his heart to go to church. And every day since then, it had been on my mind. Like, I wanted to support him in that, but faith is something I had always struggled with for my whole life. And so I wasn't sure what I believed. And so we tried it out. We came here one Sunday, and...
Time out. Did somebody tell you about this church?
We had been here years ago.
Okay.
And then we always felt comfortable here, so we decided this was the church we wanted to try coming back to.
Okay.
And when we came in that first Sunday, I guess Leah and her family were here, but we didn't see them. And so we just... We came back the next Sunday wanting to make sure that this was a good fit, and my kids weren't with me, but Leah had her kids with her, and as soon as I walked in, I noticed the back of her head, and I said to my husband, I said, that is my sister.
Oh, no.
And he asked, do you want to leave? Because he knows that had been kind of what we do, and for the first time in my life, I didn't leave. I stayed, and I said, no, we both deserve to be here. So we were back in that section, and Leah's up in this section, and the whole time I'm just kind of watching her. She didn't know I was here. I'm watching her from behind, interacting with her kids, and realizing, like, those are my nieces and that I didn't get to have a relationship with, and... And the message that day, it was Garrett's message of divine disruption. And he talked about an interruption happens and you keep going on with your life as normal, but a disruption happens and it completely changes the path of your life.
Right.
And so he really called on us to cause some disruption, to influence culture, to choose to step into spaces and have conversations. And at that last 2 minutes of that, I'm sure many of you remember the last 2 minutes, he said, now I want you to spend some time and pray and think about what you need to do next. And I was sitting there and all I could keep praying was like, maybe this time could be different. Maybe for the first time in 25 years, this is the space to have that kind of conversation. So
somebody made a move. What happened then? How did these two sisters become sisters again?
Yeah, so I chose, after some gentle nudging from my husband, I chose to go up to Leah and reintroduce myself. Do you want to take it from there?
Sure. Okay. So we stand up and our children take off, and I turn around and Alyssa says, hi, Leah, I'm Melissa, and it just clicked, and because I hadn't seen her for a long time. And so then I don't remember anything that was said during that conversation other than, can I give you a hug? So we hugged, and at the end she said, I would be open to having a conversation, which I kind of left it for a while. And I left, and our husbands were off on the side talking, and you sent a message, and then it just kind of took off from there.
And where is it now? Where's your relationship?
It's amazing. We text or talk every day. Yeah. Our kids have met and they play. We've had them for dinner. We actually spent Thanksgiving together. Yeah. I reconnected with my dad, who I also haven't seen for 25 years. We're going to do Christmas together, and we get to buy gifts for our nieces and nephews, who we've never bought gifts for.
So where there in your heart, where there was a place of chaos, there's now a place of peace.
Absolutely.
Because you guys made a decision. You went to her. You decided to go talk to her. You decided to accept her, and you made peace. You decided to do what you know is true.
Yeah, because I think it would have been so easy to, like, she sent a message first, and it would have been so easy just to be like, no, I'm not going to go down that route. And I think it's all in God's timing, too. I think God puts people in your heart where they need to be at the time they do, because I don't honestly know if this happened 5 years ago. I don't know that I would have been open to the relationship.
Yeah.
And just on that God's timing piece, if it would have been that first Sunday that I would have spotted Leah, I don't know if I would have stayed in church, and I don't know if I would have come back, because the message wasn't the same, and I didn't have that same pull on my heart to go talk to her. So it really was like, and as somebody who would have said before that I wasn't a believer, like, this is the first time in my life that I can stand up here and say, like, this was God, this is absolutely God, and now I'm able to look back on my life and think of other times that it has been God, and I've just written it off as a coincidence. So.
Amen. Thank you for your story. Thank you for being bombed. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Again, the power of choice. Remember what he said here. Paul says, I want to challenge you. If you don't have peace in your life, I want to challenge you to choose to rejoice. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to choose to trust. Choose your thoughts. And when that time comes, choose to do what you know is true. But he's not done there. In verse 7, he says this powerful word, okay? He says this word, then. Then. This is kind of like that equal mark in mathematics. It's this and this and this and this equals this. Listen to what he says it equals. He says, then, everybody say then. Then. You make those decisions in your life, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ, live in Christ Jesus. We don't understand it; it doesn't make sense. But all of a sudden, we're making these decisions, and all of a sudden, peace begins to show up. Verse 9. Then everybody say then. The God of peace will be with you. This morning, I ask you, do you have peace? Peace begins with a decision. As I said before in this message, and I truly, truly mean this, you will not have the peace you are looking for. You will not have the peace of God until you have made peace with God. So that's my biggest question to you this morning. Have you made your peace with God? And you can do that this Christmas season. Today, you can make peace with God. So if you've never made peace with God, just pray with me this prayer. Just say, God, I need you. I'm choosing today to make peace with you. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord, my Savior, Messiah. I choose today to live for you. in Jesus' name. If you've prayed that prayer, you have just made peace with God. Man, it's a powerful thing. And if you made that prayer, if you prayed that prayer, and for the first time, we have a gift for you back at our guest center. We want to give you a Bible to help you in this faith journey that you've just entered into. But the second thing, but we're not always done there, because then God's going to start speaking to you. And maybe like Alyssa and Leah, you have tension. You have chaos. And Jesus says, if you want the forgiveness of God, you have to forgive others. And I want to challenge you is that you would not only make peace with God, but you would make peace with some others. And maybe this Christmas is the time that you walk into that family event and you go to that one person and say, can I talk to you for a moment? I'm tired of throwing stones. Will you forgive me? Can we have peace? And then forgive them. And then maybe the third person that you need to make peace with, and just quickly here, is maybe some of you are here today and you need to make peace with yourself. And I want to encourage you, no matter what you've done, no matter what you said, you've made peace with God, and you can make peace with yourself through that. God has forgiven you. Forgive yourself. Let go of the shame. Let go of the guilt. Let go of the pain. You don't need to live there anymore. Amen. Can I just pray a prayer of peace over this congregation in Jesus' name? People coming to church today, people who are watching online, and there's hurt and pain, chaos in their lives. I pray that the Prince of Peace would just so fill their hearts and their lives and mine. I pray, Father, that you would bring to remembrance those choices that Paul tells us to. God, to choose to rejoice. I'm going to choose to trust. I'm going to choose my thoughts, and I'm going to choose to do. I want to listen to you from now on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can we just give the Prince of Peace a clap offering? Thank you, Lord, for your peace today.